Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on our series on the Believer's Authority, and this will be part number 4. And we're excited because we know it's going to be good, as it we expect it always to be.
That's right,
sweetheart? And, you know, before we get into it, I want to quickly go ahead and introduce my sweetheart. And I want her to maybe elaborate on some of the things that she mentioned to me in the last day or so before we did, you know, before we started this podcast today. And those were the things about some questions that we might pose to the listeners to get people to think. And she's giving me this puzzled look right now, like, what are you talking about?
Remember.
Just trying to remember. And I just love it sometimes when, you know, because she puts me on the spot sometimes. So it's such a blessing. My beautiful, and I tell her all the time, she is the most beautiful woman in the whole world. And I mean that. I believe
it. Thank you.
And I love her so much.
I am so blessed to have you as my husband, and not only that, but to have a husband that is so expressive. Hello, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless you. We definitely feel honored and excited every time we have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. We don't take this for granted. We understand that it is an honor. And it has been an honor to share this amazing topic, the believer's authority. And of course, we are speaking, first of all, to all of those who already have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because we are the ones who are called believers. But listen, if you're not one of those yet, today's the day. You can be a part of this amazing family. Those of us who believe that only in Jesus there is salvation. And we have been talking about this, and yes, Amor, we were posing the possibility of considering some question following, I mean, in this podcast, a lot of listeners, I'm sure, as I have heard the good news of what it means to have the believer's authority. We've heard examples. We've been enriched with all these different Bible verses that have been shared. And I like to think the way the listener, because I'm a listener as well, would think. So I think after hearing all this wonderful truth and seeing it, reading it for myself, this is not just your opinion, my opinion, this is the Word of God. I think I would ask myself, okay, how do I do this? And maybe you're wondering, maybe you're saying, yes, exactly, that's what I was saying. Okay, I hear what you're saying about the believer's authority, that this is something that the Lord paid for. This is mine. This is my right. This is something that I need to walk in. I need to have on a regular basis. This is not something for some exclusive, special people. This is for me as a child of God. So now the next question is, what do I do? How do I exercise this authority? If I have a situation on a personal level, how do I exercise this authority? How can I make a difference in my community? Sometimes there are things that are happening in our neighborhood, and we wonder, wow, how can I, little old me, maybe, make a difference? Well, how can I exercise the believer's authority in my community? And how about even nationwide? So these are questions that I would ask, and we would like to have the opportunity to discuss it with you, and God willing, be able to answer according to the Word, and may the Spirit continue to bring the revelation and give each one of the listeners exactly what he or she needs to hear and where they are at, because God is so good. He's such a good teacher. He knows exactly what we know and also what we need to learn to continue walking a victorious and abundant life in Jesus.
Amen, sweetheart. Yes, and definitely, you know, when we talk about any subject for that matter, you know, especially including this, where action needs to be taken in order to be able to exercise that authority over the devil, because that's what we're talking about dealing with. We're not talking about exercising authority over other people, over other individuals.
No, of course.
Not dominating mankind, but evil spirits.
That's right.
You know, because sometimes, you know, people can hear things and they hear something completely different than what you're saying. And so we start with that premise that Jesus came to do what? As we said in our foundation scripture for this series, 1 John 3:8, that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
That's right.
Now, I like the fact that, you know, the New King James, King James Version says that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, some people say, well, he already did destroy the works of the devil. Well, that's true in the positional sense in the covenant that we're in. But that doesn't mean it's automatic for everybody under every circumstance. For example, if you're not in the covenant through Jesus Christ, then you are, you know, you're what they say, a stranger and alien to the covenant. You're not entitled to the benefits of the covenant. And so exercising authority over the devil outside the covenant won't work, mm-hmm. because it's in the name of Jesus. And we know this because we have an example, you know, where seven sons of a Sceva priest tried to do the very thing, try to cast the devil out of people. Remember where that's at, sweetheart?
In
Acts chapter 16 or 19, somewhere around there. And anyway, and let's turn here and look and see, you know.
Well, and as you're looking for it, we want to remind the listeners, if you have not listened to part 1, 2, and 3, please do so. We're so grateful that some of you have reached out to let us know that you are listening, and it makes a difference. But if you have not listened to part 1, 2, and 3, please go ahead and listen to it, because it's an amazing foundation for what will be shared today.
Right. And it is in Acts chapter 19. And it starts here about verse 13. It says, and some of the entrant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves. Listen to this. I like the way the New King James words this. They took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?
Wow.
But who are you? You know, because, you know, we were talking about exercising authority. And just as I said, it's through the covenant. You have to be in the covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be able to represent him. Because, you know, they were trying to do so in the name of Jesus. But did Jesus send them? Were they a part of his kingdom? Were they a part of the covenant? No, they were not. Right? And therefore, they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, nor do they have the authority to act in his name. Right? So the evil spirit spoke to the guy and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? That's quite insulting right there. And not only that, but, you know, it's quite telling that the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on him, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. He beat the clothes literally off of them, ripped and tore them to shreds, probably beating them, and they were wounded. One man versus seven brothers. It says here, you know, it says here that there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, chief priest, who did so. So these guys were brothers, and they went in trying to tackle this guy who was demon possessed, and it did not go well for them.
No, it didn't.
As a matter of fact, he ran them off himself. And see, this is why we also want to warn people and let them know this is not something you play around with.
No, it's not.
When you're dealing with somebody who's demon possessed, you know, you can get yourself in a big world of hurt. And people think this is stuff is fun, it's games, it's funny. You know, they like to go into these places and say, you know, we're gonna cast out demons, and even though, you know, some who want to play with these ideas about going into haunted houses,
right,
you know, and even places where they were former mental institutions, asylums that are now abandoned. You see these programs on TV, you know, talking about ghost hunters and things of that nature, and they come in there with some kind of electromagnetic, you know, equipment,
devices,
try to read the signals and all that kind of stuff. And yet, interestingly, there was a guy who, I heard the story, that was a reporter in, I think, in Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, he was talking about how he followed up on some of these things and the people that went in, these ghost hunters, and come to find out that many of them that he followed up on, you know, like, say, 6 months to 2 years later, many of them were sick and many of them died. Some of them died.
What a shame.
Because they did not realize what they were playing with. They're playing with fire. Evil spirits are real.
They're real, exactly.
And they're not here to entertain people. And they may come across as that, you know, that they're all fun, you know, you got these cartoons and you got these TV shows where they make light of, you know,
right. The
spiritual world and evil spirits, and even some of them, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost and
right. Some
of these others, witches that are supposed to be nice and...
The good witch.
You know, the good witches and, you know, those type of things. But yet, we know that there's only two kingdoms in the world.
That's right.
There's the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, and there's a kingdom of darkness that Satan rules over. There's no middle kingdom of good witches and good spirits that are out there fighting against the evil ones.
And as you mentioned, you said kingdom of life, not only light, but also life. And the kingdom of Satan is pure death. There is no life when you try to look into things of darkness. You'll never find any life there.
And it's very important, you know, that we want to, you know, not, you know, make light of things, because sometimes we jokingly say something like, I use this scripture here, how he beat the clothes off of those guys, but in the world that we live in, evil spirits are prevailing in a lot of people's lives and sending people to their early grave. And we have countries, nations that are locked down from spreading the gospel because the devil is in charge of that nation. He has gotten control of the leadership, the dictators, and they control that whole nation. I mean, it's heartbreaking to know what's, you know, just to think about what's going on in some countries like North Korea and Afghanistan and other places, that if you are a Christian, there is a death sentence hanging over your head.
That's so sad, yeah.
And yet, we live in a free world, and a lot of people just make fun of this things of the world of darkness and things of the devil, and they make fun of these things like there's no consequence. But if Satan had his way, he would be doing the same thing to us in the United States of America that he's doing in Afghanistan to Christians or in North Korea to Christians. But he's not able to do that because there are a lot of Christians here who pray and have exercised authority, and we believe God to intervene on our behalf.
Amen.
But yet, my heart hurts for the people in these other nations because of the fact is they don't have the freedoms we have.
Right.
Why don't they? And what can we do about it? I mentioned this in the last podcast, sweetheart.
Yes, you did.
You know, that my heart goes out for those nations, of those people that don't have the freedoms we have. Not to mention the Christian believers, but what about the ones who are lost who've never heard the gospel message?
Wow.
And I think of a case of a woman that I read a testimony of on the news today, well, on the internet. And I don't know if she's a Christian or not. I haven't really dug that deep to find out. But she came out of communism in China. And, you know, she's an older woman now, but she was one of the children of the Mao revolution, you know, back in the early days of communism in China.
Mm-hmm.
And she was indoctrinated and all those things. But she said at some point in her life, someone came along. I think it was an American. You know, I could be mistaken about who it was exactly, but it was somebody else, gave her a copy of the United States Constitution. And she read where we have the Bill of Rights, where we have the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech.
Wow.
You know, the freedoms that we enjoy.
Take for granted.
Yes, exactly, sweetheart. That take for granted as if everyone in the world has these rights.
That's true.
And they don't.
That's true.
So that led her to, you know, gave her hope to believe that she could have these, because she said she didn't even know it was possible. And now she's a citizen of the United States. She lives here because she came here to get these freedoms. Mm. But what about the people left behind in China that don't know these things, or other countries that are even worse? You know, we think about China being bad in terms of the Chinese Communist Party controlling, you know, all religion, but the fact is they're nowhere near as bad as some of these other nations. Because, you know, it's not illegal to own a Bible in China, but it is in North Korea. If you're caught with a Bible in your possession in North Korea, it's over for you. You're going to a labor camp. And if you defect out of that nation and get away, then most likely they're going to send your family that you left behind to a labor camp.
Wow, that's terrible.
And that's horrible. So what we want to do is we want to get the knowledge out to people that they have the right to these freedoms. But like you said, sweetheart, in the very beginning, you know, how do they do that? What are the practical ways, you know, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your state, in your city, or even in your nation? Mm-hmm. And I'm already looking beyond. I'm looking to the national level.
Amen.
Because the fact is, if the devil can control the government at the national level, then he can basically control people on down from the top down. You know, for example, we look back and a lot of people look at some of these laws that were being enacted, or at least they were attempting to enact these laws back during COVID-19, is that, you know, you can't go out and you can't assemble, you can't have church.
That's right.
You know, but you can, you know, you can go to a sporting event.
Or to a bar.
Right, or a bar, or and other things, you know, forcing a vaccination on you, that even the USDA even said it didn't have the proper trials, time trials, to be able to, you know, to determine whether this drug would be safe or not. And they basically state that there at least needs to be 2 years of clinical trials to prove whether it's safe to administer. And no, they put that on a fast track, and you know what? And then how many people lost their jobs because they wouldn't take the vaccination? Even people in the medical field, you know, nurses and doctors and such. You know, so that came very close to, you know, almost trying to become like a communist nation to tell us what we can and cannot do and determine what's safe for us. And even the fact that our education system was almost being trying to be run over by trying to tell parents what they can and cannot do with their own children.
That's true.
You know, how to educate them, you know, and taking control of the education of children. Well, that's what Mao did in the Communist Revolution. They took control of the education system and brainwashed their children and turned the children against their own parents, to make the children informants against their parents, to turn them in for any slight thing that they might speak against Mao or against the communist government. And it's an evil, it's a wicked thing.
But see,
who's all behind all this?
The enemy, of course.
Satan. The God of this world, as Jesus said that he is. He said the prince of the world is coming. He has nothing in me. He said this in John chapter 14, verse 30. And we're also told in Ephesians 2 that he's the prince of the power of the air. Paul mentions that. And we have other scriptures to tell him that he's the God of this world. And this is the thing that a lot of people don't realize. Unless you're born again in the kingdom of God, under the covenant through Jesus Christ, you're automatically under the kingdom of darkness's authority.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter what you think about what you can do or not do against the devil. Mm-hmm. If you're not born again of the Holy Spirit, you're not born again by God through Jesus Christ, you have no power, you have no authority over the devil whatsoever.
You're not in the covenant.
And so you don't, not only do you not have a right, but you don't have the power.
That's right.
Because you can't get the power until you come into the covenant. And so then it becomes like these seven sons of the Sceva priests. We adjure you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And they're going to look at you and say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who do you think you are? You ain't doing nothing. And then it's going to be bad for that person. And see, people do that sometimes. They think, you know, they're going to go up against the devil. You know, those who believe in the devil, in his existence, and not realizing you got to go in the name of Jesus. And also, there's another part to this, is being led by the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
You know, because sometimes some people are not ready for deliverance. And sometimes God has a timetable for things he wants to do to help people, to help others get free. And it ain't on us, our responsibility, to take it upon ourselves. Because like I said, here, they took it upon themselves. But at the same time, as Christians, we don't just take it upon ourselves either. We go in the name of Jesus, but we go under the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes, even if you were able to cast a demon out of somebody, it could go bad for them. Because it could end up being that that person might end up being seven times worse. We know this from what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. Let's go look at that passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. See, this is something people need to realize too, that's maybe just beginning to learn about this type of topic, you know, about the devil. Is that the devil is a person who has a personality, who has a mind, and who thinks and he can even speak. Because he says, then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. That's the evil spirit speaking. And when he comes, he finds it swept, empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And interestingly, Jesus also said this, so shall it also be with this wicked generation.
Wow.
You know, that's wow, that's quite the indictment. But the point what I'm making here is this, is some people who need deliverance aren't ready for it yet because it would be premature for them. Because they're going to end up seven times worse. Because they have not prepared themselves for freedom. And there's several reasons for that. Or it could be several different reasons for that. And I think we'll get into that in another podcast. I'm not sure if we'll do that in this series or we'll talk about spiritual warfare and demonology in another series. And I would like to get into that later. But what I want to say that about that right now is the fact that the evil spirits, if the opportunity is presented to them, they're not going to say, well, you know, I wonder if I should go back. They're automatically looking to get back into that place. They say, just like this one said, I will go back to my house from which I came. It's not thinking about, you know, wanting to go somewhere else. It's been used to being in that person and living there, dominating that individual, and that is their home. They have gotten evicted out of, and he wants to go back. And I know of people who've been delivered, have demons cast out, and because they've had open doors in their lives, you know, they did not, you know, turn away from their drug addictions and the things of that nature that they were involved with, those were still open doors in their lives for the evil spirit to come back. So there's things that people have to do to close doors. And maybe we'll talk about this sooner than I'm thinking, but because people need to know, just as we need to know how do you cast out the devil, they need to know how to stay free once the devil leaves.
That's true.
And it's just as important, if not more important, than the fact of casting the spirit out. Because why would Jesus say this himself? This is the words in red. in my Bible. The words of Jesus himself saying that the spirit goes out of a man, the unclean spirit, and he says, I will go back to my house from which I came, and he takes seven spirits more wicked themselves and goes and dwells therein. And so it shall be with this wicked generation. So even the generation that he was speaking to, many of them lost their deliverance because they did not follow on the path with the Lord Jesus, and they did not become believers to follow him and did not become doers of the word. Because to keep the devil out, you got to follow the word of God. You got to surrender and submit to God's will for your life. You can't, you know, with certain doorways that you open up to the evil spirits, continue to dabble on in those things. We talked about this, I think, what was it, the gifts of the spirit, one of the series we had done, sweetheart, about people practicing, you know, with the occult, getting involved in, you know, witchcraft and Ouija boards and going to see fortune tellers and that's all these type of things, opening the door to the devil. And there's a lot of other doors that they can open to the enemy. And you can't keep opening these doors or leaving these doors open expecting the devil's going to leave you alone.
That's right.
He's not going to.
And it's a good opportunity to remind, you know, parents and those that supervise the younger boys and girls. And you know what? Not even children, because I know of young adults, even adults, that actually open the doors. And they think that this is so harmless. But it's a good opportunity to remind the listeners, you know, you cannot, as you said, open doors and interact with things of darkness and think that there aren't going to be any consequences. There are consequences, and I pray that the Lord will continue to open our eyes so that we can identify and discern what are those things, those activities, those places, those games, those programs, those conversations, those practices that are from the devil. There is no pretty way to say it. I don't care if it's adorned, if it has music that you like. It doesn't matter. There are things that are not, the things that are not from God, there's no gray area. Either it's from God or it's from darkness. And we need to be able to identify. And, you know, I say it because as someone who's always, you know, working with children and talking to the children, it is amazing to see the games that they play on a regular basis. It's amazing to see how parents, and I'm sure it's very innocently, because I don't think any parent, most parents, don't want to harm their children in the natural nor in the spiritual. And it's amazing to see how many of these parents themselves buy things for the children or take them to the movies to see movies that no child or any adult should be even watching. And it's just doors that, you know, unfortunately are opened. But you know what? This podcast is going to make a difference. And it is making a difference. And I praise the Lord because this is such an opportunity, this to change the lives, not only of this generation, but also the next generation, as we continue to supervise and have a special zeal for what this younger generation is doing, watching what they are eating in spiritual terms and what they are developing a taste for. Because even that, I was speaking to a mom today and I was saying, you know, it's very sad because sometimes it's not only what the child is in the midst of, the environment, but they also develop a taste for that. And the same way it is for good things, when the child is taught the word of God and learns about the Bible stories and learns about Jesus, you know, they develop a taste. Their spirit learns about these things. Well, guess what? It also works the other way too. If a young child is immersed in an environment where it's darkness and, you know, things that are not good, guess what? He or she is very, very likely to develop a taste for this as well. So may the Lord continue to give us discernment. And you know what? Love. We cannot be too busy not to make a difference in the younger generation. We cannot be too busy to ignore what's going on next door in our next room, in our home, with our child, with our student, with the children in church. We can't be too busy. We truly have to love one another and invest. And we pray that our listeners not only are willing to invest, but also especially in their own lives, and that the Lord will give us the discernment, whether it's with the music, with the programs, with the entertainment, that He will just give us a special awareness and be able to truly identify what is pleasing to the Lord and what is not, what builds us and what breaks us, what edifies and what destroys in our lives and the lives of others, so that we can put a stop to what we need to put a stop and be able to be nourished with things that are truly going to edify and help us be more like Jesus.
Yes, yes, sweetheart, that's so good. And I thank you for sharing what you have shared. And it's, you know, it's needful. You know, you have such a heart for children. And it even blesses my heart to see that, because I can see the children, how they react to you. And it's like they have a deep love and respect for you. Amen. That, you know, that not everyone can, you know, can have that with children. You know, I mean, I have a love and respect for children, but it's nowhere near on the level that you're on or what you gain, you know, get from the children. I don't get that same kind of respect. But the point is that we've all been gifted differently. That's by right. God. That's to right. reach different people. That's right. And we need to be mindful of that and be good stewards.
That's right.
Of the gifts that God gives us to reach people, you know. And so right. we'll leave this podcast here, and we'll pick up the subject in the next one, because there's plenty more to share.
Definitely.
On this series about the believer's authority. So without further ado, I turn it back over to you, sweetheart, to make that the invitation to those who need to receive Jesus.
And of course, we never want to end this podcast without sharing the good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ loves you so much that He gave His life on the cross, so that everyone who believes, anyone, and that means you, who believes in Him, will have eternal life. What does that mean? How does that translate into a practical manner? Well, you were born separated from the Lord, just as all of us, but Jesus Christ wants to reconcile you with God the Father, and He is the only one who can do that. And what you have to do is admit that you are a sinner, as we have admitted, and that you need a Savior. Then Jesus Christ takes your heart, takes your sin, makes you a brand new person, and you are welcomed into the family of God.
Amen. As simple as it gets. And we will want to say thanks to everybody for listening, and God bless you, and have a good night or good morning wherever you're at.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.